This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday. And Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. That has been incredible. We're going to talk about the communist mindset. Why do they find value in communism? What do I do for dinner? Why is the deep state? Why are they trying so hard to keep dudes in women's locker rooms? All that, so much more coming up tonight on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show in our final hour. I want to get to this one because this is probably going to be one of those continuing themes on the show. You know how we do continuing themes, just things I get hot on or the ways that I understand things and I try to just explain how I think about it. There are, and I've been brewing on this for a while, there are several different groups involved in almost every single political movement. And where people get extremely confused is they'll take one part of one movement and they'll think it's the entire movement. Or they'll take one person who does one thing for one reason and they think that explains everything, but it can get much more complicated than that, and it oftentimes is. So I'm going to answer this email in a way that hopefully explains what I just said. Jesse, I'm a huge fan. I read your book. I listen often, but I still have a very basic question I just don't get. Why does everyone from crazy Aunt Peggy to commie professors find value in communism? They must know it's a horrible system where everyone has absolutely nothing. Is the answer as simple as they... All right, so let me explain this. First, I'll break this down for most movements because this is how we're going to explain it from now on. Three basic components of every movement. Different groups, but three basic components. There are the evil, there are the confused, and there are the cowardly. The evil, the confused, and the cowardly. We'll call it cowardly. We'll call it the ECC, if you will. Just came up with that on my own. No big deal. What, Chris? I did. But the ECC, the evil, the confused, the cowardly. So when it comes to American communism, let's address the evil first. Just genuinely evil human beings. First, let's start at the top. The billionaire funders of it, the George Soros types. Then he's not the only one, but we'll just use Soros because he's a name everyone knows. You make all this money and you just decide to spend vast quantities of it to trash our country? That's your purpose? That's what you want to do? That's freaking dark and evil, man. But some people are just evil. Evil exists. Some people are that way. You mentioned the commie professors. You know, you read the Anti-Communist Manifesto, available at jessekellybook.com. Oh, I should know. I almost forgot. Chris, I forgot to tell you. They have it in paperback now. It just came out in paperback. You can get it in paperback. I'm assuming it's cheaper. Anyway, you don't have to go buy the book, but it is. I'm glad everyone liked it. In the Anti-Communist Manifesto, I talk about this, and you can dig into it in more depth. Do you know how many college professors in our country are terrorists? And that's not just me saying that. I'm talking whether underground terrorists who have attempted to or successfully murdered people and or blown things up in this country to push forward a communist revolution. There are more than one, more than two, more than five who are currently teaching Aiden, Jaden, and Braden, who you sent off to college. They are college professors. If you were a savage street animal in the 1960s or 70s trying to blow things up and murder people in this country, it is not hard for you to find a university that will welcome you with open arms where you teach the next generation about how evil America is. These terrorists discovered they could do much more damage with a college lecture series than they ever could with a nail bomb. So there they are, year after year after year. You pay them to teach your child to hate you. Evil. Deep, deep evil. So let's set those ones aside. Let's talk about the confused. This is what I really mean when I talk about the liberal Aunt Peggy types. In fact, many of the street animals you see out there. I'm not talking about the paid ones, the paid organizers, but here's a great example. Remember when they had the pro-Hamas protests? They were going on all over the place. Oh, I love terrorism. And there was those girls. We played the audio of it before. I don't think I'm going to play it again for you. But these two girls showed up at Columbia University. They had this big protest. And the guy was going around interviewing the protesters. And he asked both of these girls, well, why are you here? Like, what's your cause? Why are you here? And the first girl's like, I don't know. Do you know why we're here? And the other girl said something along the lines of, well, I don't know. I guess I should be more educated on the subject. She was totally lost. Totally. They had no idea why they were there. People can get lied to and twisted up and believe all manner of things. Your liberal Aunt Peggy, whether it's a dude you work with or maybe your actual aunt or your mom or, God forbid, your husband or wife or daughter or whatever they are, running around with their Planned Parenthood T-shirt on and at the latest gay pride parade, they got caught up in a cult, the cult of communism. They got caught up in this cult and they were told by the influences around them that good people, if you want to be a good person, then you listen to what we say, do what we do, and hate who we tell you to hate. And this is why communism affects stupid people so much. They get caught up more easily in it, and they just simply fall in line. And eventually they find themselves loudly supporting the most vicious, horrible things in the world, and they're just mostly dumb or lost without the influences in their life that can bring them out of that cult. And so they'll find themselves doing horrible, horrible things because, well, that's just what good people do. I brought up the Aztecs. I brought them up a lot because it was such a demonic, horrible society. And, you know, these priests that would perform these religious ceremonies where they would just put a bunch of people to death in any given day. They would strip all your clothes off, and in front of everybody, they would lay you down on a stone and they would take a knife. And while you were alive, straight out of Indiana Jones, they would cut your heart out of your body while you were still alive. What if you're the priest's assistant and you're watching this how many times a day? You have to convince yourself that you're doing something for the greater good. No matter how horrible it is, the scream's really, really loud, but I know that's what I'm supposed to do, Mom. So that's the career I'm pursuing. In any given movement, especially America's communists, especially your liberal Aunt Peggy, she screams that Donald Trump is going to murder her and have her uncle deported because she's just really, really dumb. And she's just, as a dumb person, she got confused. She got taken up into a cult. And now she's a monster. And she doesn't even really necessarily know it. She's a monster. So the evil, the confused, and the third group, and this is a large percentage of any group, a third group that support communism are cowards, cowardly. We point out the corporate world, justifiably so, for how much damage they've done to our culture. They have used their vast quantities of money in the country in which they luxuriate to throw huge quantities of money at all these various monsters in the streets. All of them. Why'd they do that? Well, some of them, depends on the company, but many of them are true believers now. True communist believers. But many of them are simply cowards. And they've always understood that. I mean, I can spit in the face of Christians. I'm not going to get much blowback on that. But if we don't run this next Pride Month, you know, if we don't paint our Oreos gay, then we're going to have them dancing in the streets in front of Oreo headquarters, making life hard for us. Say, hey, why don't we just throw a couple million bucks at a bunch of gay stuff? It'll be better, right? We'll just gay the whole thing up. Just cowards. Cowards. And cowardice explains why you send your kid off to college and lose your kid oftentimes, too, because you're not confident enough yet at that age, oftentimes, in who you are and what you believe. And that's, well, that's what all your friends are doing. All your friends are trash in America. I mean, that's not what my dad taught me, but I don't want to be ostracized. I don't want to be the outcast. Yeah, America sucks. The evil, the confused, and the cowardly. Hopefully that explained why. Let's move on and talk about some other things. Let's talk about gold first. That's something else that we should all be on now. It doesn't have to be gold. It can be silver, but protect yourself. I have a question here about why are they setting everything up for a big economic collapse with the spending and everything else? Well, economic collapse helps the people in charge. It hurts us. It crushes us. It helps the people in charge. So how do you insulate yourself? Well, you can't ever insulate yourself completely. You can't. But if you want to preserve your retirement, you better get some gold and silver in there. You want to make sure you're personally able to purchase goods and services? You better get some in your physical possession. But who do you call? Who do you trust? Gold Co. is the biggest company for a reason. Thousands of Americans, over $3 billion in gold and silver. A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau. Let Gold Co. help you. Get at least a free kit from them and find out what they can do. JesseLikesGold.com is where you go. Protect yourself. JesseLikesGold.com. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Break it on through to the weekend is what we're doing here in the final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. There's lots more questions. Let's do them. Jesse, can you please explain why the deep state is trying so hard to keep men in women's locker rooms? Well, that answer can get long and complicated, but I'll simplify it like this. Communism is of the devil. It is. I believe that to the bottom of my heart. It's of the devil. That's why it's so anti-human. That's why it murders so much. That's why it destroys so much. And they're always, always trying to destroy the next thing in front of them. That's why whenever these people have taken over a country in completion, they just start killing each other. Communists have killed more communists than anyone else because destroying everything is what they do. Everything must be destroyed. And that is simply their mindset. Think about them like, have you ever had a dog that loved to play fetch? We grew up with labs. Fred is a useless golden doodle now, but we always had black labs and yellow labs because we would go pheasant hunting and duck hunting, and they were great. Labs are great dogs anyway, Labrador Retrievers, great dogs. But most of the labs I had, not all of them, but most of them, they would play fetch, and we never, ever, ever found an end to it. We used to remark, we had one Hank, he was a great dog, he was a black lab, gentle soul, but all he wanted to do was play fetch. And we even got one of these tennis ball thrower things, the sticks where you put the tennis ball in it, you can chuck it even further. And I could throw pretty well. My old man could throw real well. And we would launch these things as far as you can imagine. And he would run down as far as you could get and run up. And he would be in such a state of exhaustion. His tongue is swollen up. He can hardly move. And all he wanted, he would chuck that ball at you and say, throw it again and throw it again and throw it again. Because his instinct, the way his mind was wired, is that was all he wanted to do. Fetch at all times. Fetch, fetch, fetch. I'll do fetch until my heart explodes. That's how the communist is with destruction. That's why they'll get involved in something, whatever it is, and they'll just destroy it. But then they don't stop. That's always the next thing. Let's destroy that too. The next thing. Let's destroy that too. Let's destroy that too. That's all he knows. It is ingrained in them. And when it comes to tranny stuff, to men and women's sports, well, remember, everything has to be destroyed, including whatever norms your society has put into place. Here in America, as most places, we used to, men were different than women. Women are physically weaker than men. That's biological. And we also knew this as a norm. Men are supposed to protect women. I know that we're all supposed to be these newfangled skinny jeans wearing losers now. No, women can fight just as hard as men and can do anything men can do. That's a freaking lie. Men are supposed to protect women. That's part of our role. Well, what better way to destroy, to go steamrolling through more norms than act like dudes could just become women and then turn a blind eye to the fact they're giving these poor young women concussions out there. And everyone can see that's a dude. His friggin' Adam's apple's practically hitting you in the face on the way by. Everyone knows it's a dude. But if you can destroy one more thing, people on the right, normal people, have a hard time, a very hard time understanding that kind of a mentality. A destructive, aggressive mentality of conquest. You look at the local librarian. The local librarian in your blood red town who's inviting some drag show in to read books to the kids with his penis hanging out. You look at that and you think, that's just a sweet old lady. Yeah, I don't understand. Why would she do something? You don't understand. She eats, sleeps, and breathes the destruction of norms, the destruction of everything. Revolution without end. The destruction never, ever, ever, ever stops. And they are taught that. They are taught that in Democrat circles, at Democrat meetings, at these various activist groups, because there are so many funded and organized Democrat communist activist groups across the country. And they are taught. Go read Saul Alinsky. Go read that book. You know, everyone talked about Rules for Radicals and Saul Alinsky back when Obama was running because he was, you know, very much a figure who influenced Barack Obama's life. But get beyond the talk radio talking points and go read his mentality. That's the mentality of a revolutionary. War without end, revolution without end, attack, 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 attack at all times, attack all things. There is not a stated goal ever. You never read ever from a communist, hey, once we achieve this, we'll stop. You've never read a version like that from a communist ever. That's because there is no end. The revolution must continue. Now, I told you about the labs I used to have and their ability to go grab ducks or pheasants or anything, just a very, very useful dog. There are useful dogs, and then there's Fred, you see. Very different from any dog that serves a genuine purpose. I guess as a watchdog, he's adequate, certainly loud, certainly wants to do something. As far as playing fetch goes, you can throw a ball. Well, I was going to say all day long, you would throw it one time for Fred. He would go pounce on it, and then he would lay there and roll around with it in the grass. I don't know what you want me to tell you. I don't even know why we give him rough greens. I don't know why. Because rough greens is going to make Fred live even longer and be useless for longer. Maybe that's why. Because the big fluffy moron is just beloved by everyone in the neighborhood. Everyone knows Fred by now. You want to keep your dog alive. Honestly, rough greens is wonderful, and I am grateful they fixed his digestive problems. Start sprinkling the all-natural nutritional supplement on your dog's food so your dog can finally get nutrition, live longer and healthier and happier. I'll give him that. He is happy. 833-33-MY-DOG or roughgreens.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday. Remember, if you miss any part of the show, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. We have too many questions and not enough time, so let's dig into the whole thing. Jesse, I have four questions for you. I don't know if I'll get with four questions. What do you typically eat for dinner on a weekly basis? Home cooking, takeout, quick dine at a restaurant, fine dining? All right, we don't do very much fine dining in the Kelly household. I know you're going to find that shocking. What, Chris? Well, I know Red Lobster's fine dining, but that's not every week. Every 2 or 3 weeks. Well, look, I'll just be honest with you. Ob pushes back against Red Lobster quite a bit. She doesn't have the same affinity for high-end seafood that the boys and I do, so She has some unkind things to say about it, if I'm being honest. But no, we don't do a lot of fine dining. And also, since we don't do a lot of fine dining, I eat at home for breakfast. Because of the show's schedule, I'll eat usually a late lunch, and usually I get takeout for me, Chris, and Corey. We get some sort of takeout. Chris said he appreciates it. Yeah, and that usually consists of... Well, see, we're all three married, and none of our wives are here to supervise. So those meals are almost always pizza, cheesesteaks, tacos, the things that are delicious and wonderful. And then when I get home, I will usually reheat whatever Ob made that night. Tonight she's making her world-famous fettuccine Alfredo with chicken in it. So that's going to get reheated. That's a typical thing for me. Sorry, you don't get four questions. I have to move on. Jesse, who do the Dems get? Shapiro, Buttigieg? Keep your eyes on Fetterman. Watch him grow his name and rise in the ranks. Well, we're all, because we're political animals, you are and I am, we just love this stuff. We understand the importance of power. We're already looking at 2028. Who are they going to get? Who are we going to get? I know everyone thinks J.D. Vance is going to be the guy, and I could certainly see J.D. Vance being the guy. I'm very impressed with J.D. Vance. Ron DeSantis, I would assume, is going to run again. Is he going to be the guy? I don't know. I don't know. Certainly qualified. I don't know. I don't know who. But we have a pretty good idea of our field. If you told me the 2028 nominee, whether I could pick Vance and DeSantis, that it would be one of those two, or every other person in the United States of America, I would probably bet on Vance and or DeSantis. I bet you it's going to be one of those two guys. And I think you'd probably agree. Chris, Corey, am I out of pocket there? Yeah, probably. So we have at least a decent idea of who our guy might be. But Democrats are in a pickle. Now, this pickle of theirs won't last forever. Parties go through these down periods of time where their messaging has fallen out of touch and their candidates aren't necessarily great and things are bad for them. If you're a Democrat, I'm not even going to be mean to them for once, this is where you're at right now. The crazy cultural Marxist stuff that Barack Obama really, I mean, he really was the one who got that stuff revved up big time. Barack Obama had the charisma necessary to keep that stuff popular enough. I'll say popular enough. But after he left, Democrats got consumed by it. It became not just one aspect of it. It became their everything. All the DEI filth, all that stuff. Well, if you do that for long enough, you'll eventually find you don't speak the language of middle America, of normal America anymore. Even for the person, pick your location, wherever they are, who's not really political, they don't care, Democrats, Republicans, but they vote on the economy and they kind of want everything going really well. When they see you on television every other day trashing white people with a pink feather boa around your neck, you eventually look like just some freak to them. And that's what's happened with the Democrat Party. And there's another thing that's happened to the Democrat Party, and I'm sure they will overcome this eventually because that's the way it works. I don't know how in the short term they're going to overcome this. They have become the party that is completely siloed to the wealthy coastal areas. The direction, the language, the messaging of the Democrat Party is created in New York City, Washington, D.C., and Los Angeles. Completely created there. They don't even know how to pretend to give a crap about anyone else, anywhere else. So that creates a tough situation for them because guess what? You don't win the presidency on New York or Washington, D.C. or California. If you're a Democrat, you already had those areas anyway. You win the presidency on Pennsylvania, on Michigan, on Wisconsin, on these more normal areas. They're not San Francisco. Even if they're not blood red, they're not San Francisco. They have to figure out that. And then they have to figure out their candidate problem, which actually coincides with that. If you listen to just the rabid animals in your base and you're a Democrat, that would lead you to believe that we have to pick some you would pick Kamala Harris. You'd have to pick some DEI hire. Well, we can't do a man. That's not going to work. But it needs to be a woman. But it definitely can't be a white woman. It's got to be pick your color. It's got to be that's what you go over in your head. But that wins you California. You don't need California. California's in your back pocket. You need Pennsylvania. Who's the obvious pick? Well, obvious pick is Shapiro. Josh Shapiro, governor of Pennsylvania. He's not a moderate by any stretch, but he has that reputation. He's not been mired in any kind of a scandal. Personally, I can't stand him, but personally, he's got charisma. And so you have a candidate from the critically important swing state of Pennsylvania. He's spoon-fed for you right there. The obvious choice from the outside looking in is Josh Shapiro. But Democrats now have a Jewish problem. They hate them, or at least the base does. And we know this from the various polls that show older Democrats, once you reach a certain age, they don't necessarily care whether you're Jewish or Gentile or anything like that. It's not important to older Democrats. But for the younger Democrats coming up, the younger you get, the more you hate Jews in the Democrat Party. Now, this is not a pitch for Jews, for Gentiles, for anybody. This is an analysis of the political landscape Democrats face. The obvious choice is the popular governor from the critically important swing state of Pennsylvania. It's obvious. The party bosses, everybody should be lined up behind Josh Shapiro. But what do you do when you promote Josh Shapiro and your activist base? They all come out burning flags of Israel. Gets uncomfortable. Then you get to Gretchen Whitmer. Gretchen Whitmer, who has had presidential aspirations for quite some time. The bloom's fallen off that rose a little. She's very much, her reputation is that she's only surrounded by super fans, so she makes stupid decisions. And she's white. And your activist base doesn't want that either. I don't know which way they go. I don't know, but they've got some serious problems. They're in one of those down periods of time, which you should enjoy, which I should enjoy, because they don't last forever. They're in one of those down periods of time. I don't know what they're going to do. But you know, speaking of the devil, did you hear what Kamala Harris said yesterday, last night? You hear this? I'll play it for you in a second. Hang on.
Truth. Attitude. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show on a magnificent Friday and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. And of course, I'm going to get back to those questions here in just a moment and get through as many as I possibly can. But we were just discussing the Democrat field of 2028. Why? Because we're political nerds and we can't help it. Did you hear what Dome had to say?
And our work is not done. And as you all know me, because we have spent long hours, long days, and months and years together, it is not my nature to go quietly into the night. So don't worry about that. Can I get a witness?
That sure sounds like somebody. Of course she's going to stay in the game. The only question is she running for California or president? And she hasn't lost the old knack of lying about things.
I am fully aware that I am the public face of a lot of our work. And so I have the benefit of running into people all over our country who thank me.
The public face? Who told Dome she was the public face of anything? She's the disgraced former Democrat nominee who blew $1.5 billion and somehow managed to even lose the popular vote, which Democrats haven't done in ages. She's not the face of anything. Nothing at all. Speaking of faces, where do you put your face when you make a phone call? What, Chris? Do you put your face on a Verizon phone? That's disgusting. Your face is touching communism. Do you put your face on AT&T phones? Ew. T-Mobile? Why don't you put your face on a Pure Talk phone? Pure Talk's the public face of an actually patriotic cell phone company that's on the same 5G network and saves you a fortune. My bill got cut in half when we left T-Mobile. Half. Clean half. Whoosh, done. Think about all the money you can save with that. Switch. Their CEO's a veteran. They don't use your money on disgusting causes. It takes 10 minutes on the phone. Dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. That'll save you an extra 50% off your first month. #250, say Jesse Kelly. Speaking of pound, did you see Pete Buttigieg is done today? What, Chris? We can make jokes. Pete Buttigieg is done today. Apparently just right out the back door. Jesse, you said there are going to have to be cuts, talking about Social Security. Why should it be when 38% of the government revenue paid, but we're not doing this thing. I don't understand why there should be. Just cut foreign aid. Go look at a pie chart of the government expenditures. You can't cut people off who rely on Social Security and Medicare now. Those programs must be adjusted going forward or they will end the country. I understand that this is an emotional thing for people. I get it, but I need that. I'm not talking about taking away your Social Security check. I'm telling you, given how unfunded these programs are going forward, they are going to end. You can choose whether or not they end gently or they end in complete collapse, but they are coming to an end. Foreign aid isn't a pimple on an elephant's butt compared to these entitlement programs.
And now,
here's a headline.
By, go, you know the thing.
Emails
we didn't get to.
Jesse, with two wars, the economy and the toilet, California burned up and everything else, I fear Biden left Trump a bigger mess than anyone could fix in a reasonable time. Then I'm afraid Trump will get blamed in the end. I hope I'm wrong, but what do you think? I've been told that by economists mostly. Economists I know have told me that they did everything they could possibly do, the Biden administration, to kick the can down the road just so they could eke through 4 years, but that economically we are facing a potential disaster. Just be glad we have Trump coming, though, to mitigate how bad that's going to be. Multiple economists have told me they have set Donald Trump up for a horrible failure. You heard, if you want, you know what a better explanation of that would be, because I don't want to take this time during headlines. We had Carol Roth on. Was she third hour last night, Chris? She was. The third hour of last night's show, about halfway through the third hour, Carol Roth came on and did a better explainer than I'm going to do right now. Go download that. iHeart, Spotify, iTunes, download that. Oracle of Oracles. I heard your thoughts on term limits of Congress. I wonder if introducing term limits, but perhaps 3 terms, would be an amicable solution. And I was wondering if you feel that way regarding presidents in governor terms. Well, I said what I said regarding term limits. I wish these people wouldn't spend a career in Washington. But more than anything, I wish the American voter cared enough to ensure that happened. Dear Oracle, you say you wouldn't snitch on someone who committed a crime. Would you turn in someone who was here illegally? I never said I wouldn't snitch on someone who committed a crime. Snitching, one, is not in my nature. Two, it depends on the crime and depends on the someone. Big time. Very much depends on the crime and depends on the someone. If my neighbor, I know him, I'm friends with him, we're on a first name basis. If he murdered somebody, I'm going directly to the police and I'm going to report him. If I find out he's a bank robber, I will probably report him. If I come out my front door and my neighbor has gotten so drunk that he drove his car into my mailbox and he's passed out in the front seat, I am going to scoot him over, park his car back in his driveway, grab him a pillow, and let him know the next day that he owes me money from my mailbox. I ain't calling the cops. That's who I am. Jesse, any concerns regarding her, this is about Pam Bondi, any concerns regarding her wishy-washy stance on the Second Amendment? I heard she supports red flag laws, which are frightening if you're a gun owner. Of course I do. I have big concerns with anyone who supports red flag laws. Allowing the government to preemptively take away one of your critical rights. In fact, the most critical right, as we watch the government take its guns and point them inward. I have a great deal of concern for anyone who talks lovingly about red flag laws. Anyone. Jesse, first off, I never agree with abortion. Here's something that never gets talked about. My redheaded crazy girlfriend gets pregnant with my child. She has all the power. She has the power to make two decisions. Abortion, which I firmly protest, and leave me and have my child so I can pay child support for 18 years. My point is, where are the father's rights? Well, in this country, this happened, honestly, it happened really right after the 19th Amendment. Politicians in this country came to the conclusion that the woman vote was the most valuable vote, and you needed to go after the woman vote at all times, not just nationally, state, local, and this. So everything is women, 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 women. We'll do this for women, more for women. Well, after so many decades of that, you have, especially when it comes to things like divorce and children, a legal system that is completely against men. And that's a problem. It's a big-time problem. You have a big-time problem. That's that the show's done for the week. I mean, we're going to be back Monday, but now you have to go 2 days without me. I hope you'll survive. Put your phone down, enjoy your weekend. Monday's Inauguration Day, and we will enjoy it. That's all.
This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.